Robots Radio presents
Fresh Tomatoes, the movie podcast.
I'm not usually a hat fan, but wow.
Maybe like a Vaya and Dagger.
I'm really sipping on that dumb bitch juice today. And
Yeah, I am. But you know what? Someday I just might grow out of that. But you will never stop being a jerk.
All chocolate cakes are good. You're a fascist.
It's hideous.
It's horrible.
It's home.
Angry white boy, let's go!
Hello, and welcome to Fresh Tomatoes, the movie podcast. The podcast where you're always lucky until you're not. That's Chad Ackowitz.
And that's Simone LaRue. Gosh, that feels like it could just apply to our normal lives. Like, that just feels like it's a thing.
Yeah, if I look back at where I was at the beginning of Spooktober last year, Chad, what a time. What a thrilling journey.
It's been what a wild ride. It's almost been like we have been on a scary mission from start to finish of this last year. And you know what? I'm really hoping that we're coming to the end of this horror movie, and this is where we either, you know, excel out onto the boat away from the creepy house, or the police have come and they're triaging everyone and everything's fine.
Yes.
And what I'm really, really not hoping for is a final act twist where we find out that the scary murderer has a twin brother, or, you know, the demon wasn't killed in the end. You know, none of that twist ending at the end.
Yeah, no thank you.
Yeah, it would be good to avoid that, I think, completely. Yeah, let's just have, like, a normal happy life, shall we? How does that sound?
You know what? That sounds fantastic.
Good, good. I'm glad we're in agreement. Now, if the universe would just get off our collective dicks, and that would be great.
Things are already much better. I feel like this time a year ago, I was in my hometown. I was working a job I did not like in any way, shape, or form.
Yes.
And I was dealing with a depression that I didn't want to accept that I had, which was great. That was super fun.
Yeah, it was a good time. It was a good time for all of us. The cries for help were loud and unabashed.
You know, other people's depression is valid, I realized, just not mine.
Of course. I mean, course. That's just the rules, isn't it? It's like, you know, everyone else deserves a break. Everyone else deserves to have that peace and wellness.
Yeah.
But not me. I've got to work very, very hard. Are you crazy?
That's... So, on that note... What are you not drinking, Chad?
Yes, this is one of those very rare episodes where we are recording in the morning. It's a morning show recording, which means, you know, we're trying not to drink, you know, just I would rather not be classed as an alcoholic by our listeners, you know, but yeah, so I'm just drinking a nice warming cup of tea this morning.
Oh, what kind of tea are we talking?
Oh, just standard builder's tea with a little bit of...
lovely.
Okay, so don't judge me.
Okay.
I never have sugar in my tea. I refuse to have sugar in my tea.
Sure.
Usually I have honey instead, but we're all out of honey. So instead I've put maple syrup in my tea.
Ooh, that sounds tasty though.
It is really, really tasty. It's like giving it like a rich sort of undertones. It's very, very nice. But I know there's a lot of people out there who would be like, maple syrup in your tea? That's
I think our Canadian listeners might appreciate it.
Well, this one's for you guys, eh? I'm repping the Great White North. How about you? What are you drinking today?
I'm having a nice peppermint tea.
Ooh,
also
fancy.
Sugarless, because if you put sugar in your peppermint tea, you're a child.
Yeah, that's not right. You need to go and get some help if you put sugar in your peppermint tea. That's lovely. Do you put milk in your peppermint tea, or is it just straight tea bag and milk?
No, I'm not
water?
A monster. Who puts milk in their peppermint tea?
Oh, I've seen people do it. Simone.
Oh my god.
Yeah, they're all in jail now.
Of course. Especially in the UK, you take your tea crimes very seriously.
Oh, yeah. I would say that's, you know, in other places in the world, you know, property is 9/10 of the law. Here in the UK, it's all about that tea.
Yeah. People have been convicted on how pale their tea is.
Exactly. So, like you said, it is the first week of Spooktober, which is our favorite month of all the months.
I'm so happy.
Oh, this is where we come alive. It's so good. I'm so glad it's finally here. And so, for this episode, what is the first bit of Spooktober that we're doing? What are we covering this week?
So it's a bit of two things. I like to think of it as, like you said, the theme is like, it's our birth year. These are horror movies that came out in 1993. They're the movies that made us. But there are also some really like classic moments of horror. And I think it was a nice base, actually, to start with. That was a great idea of yours.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a good foundation on which to build. And it's very exciting. And I loved going back and watching these movies and being like, wow, 1993 was a very wild time. just the dichotomy between these two horror movies, I couldn't be more excited.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was certainly a joyride.
Exactly. So we are doing Needful Things and Leprechaun, both of 1993, the year that we were born. Both of us just dewy-skinned and dewy-eyed at this point back in 93. Mm, very exciting.
What I wouldn't do so, to have that skin back.
All you have to do, Simone, is just drink baby's blood. It's very easy to get that dewy complexion.
I'm trying. Finding a supplier is tricky at best.
Yeah, that's true. That is very, very true. My girlfriend and I watched Amityville Horror again last night, the one with Ryan Reynolds.
What a banger.
And I know, right? It's such a great classic horror film. And it was just it was just wild to see Ryan Reynolds again. And like, he hasn't changed. Like, he clearly has a great supplier of baby's blood.
Oh my God. Whoever does like his work, props to them. Aces. He's aged so well and not at all.
Yeah. It's wild because like, Chloe Grace Moretz was in that movie and she was, a baby in that.
Yeah.
I know, right? It's crazy. And then she's aged worse than Ryan Reynolds purely on the basis that she has aged. Whereas Ryan Reynolds is just eternal.
Yeah. Isn't Billy
bonkers.
Piper the wife in that? Or am I just like, making things up?
No.
Or she just looks like Billy Piper.
She looks a lot like Billy Piper. Yeah, okay. I'll give you that. Yeah, yeah, but it's not Billy Piper.
Okay, no,
no
shit.
But good yeah, time. Good. So, what do you want to do first? Because I mean, we're both drinking tea, so I think it's like, yeah. How do we do this? This is unprecedented.
So I roll through with Leprechaun. I feel like it's pretty quick and dirty.
Yes, I'm doing Leprechaun though, right?
No, I said I was doing it. I can do Needful Things. I can swap over. It's fine. I haven't written a synopsis or anything.
I haven't written a synopsis for either, so it's absolutely fine.
Sick.
I genuinely, Simone, you can really tell, like, this has not been my week, like, whatsoever.
Buddy.
This is not my vibe. For our listeners, I got the timing wrong. I uploaded last week's episode last night, and I did the wrong sort of captions and everything. It's been an absolute disaster, and clearly I got the wrong movie. No, if you want to rock Leprechaun, I will quickly change over to Needful Things. That's absolutely
fine.
Are you
sure?
Yeah,
you're
rock
fine?
It.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
okay,
absolutely fine.
Cool.
Go for it.
Sorry.
No, okay. Not your fault. Definitely my fault. I've been terrible.
Cool. Leprechaun. Mr. O'Grady, played by Shay Duffin, returns from his mother's funeral in Ireland with a pot of gold that he stole from a leprechaun. Or at least, I think he got it fair and square. Like, it seems pretty in line with the lore. He captured a leprechaun,
100.
Forced it to show him where the gold is. He got the gold. He's come back to America. But this leprechaun is fucking not having it. He's just called Leprechaun, played by Warwick Davis. He is pissed. He follows O'Grady all the way back to America and promptly murders him and his wife, but not before O'Grady's able to trap him in a crate. 10 years later, the farm has been bought by Alex, I want to say.
Yeah, that sounds like the dad's name.
I don't know. That's all. None of these people look like they're supposed to, like, whatever. It's been bought by a dude who is going to be fixing up the farm with his ungrateful daughter, Tori, played by Jennifer Aniston. She's all set to leave. She's like, oh my God, I hate it here. This is disgusting. And then she meets the hunky painter repair guy, Nathan, played by Ken Oland. And she's like, oh, maybe we can stick it out. Naturally, they somehow manage to awaken the leprechaun, and he is free. What follows is a super fun horror comedy where Tori and Alex and Nathan, as well as Ozzy and Alex, played by Matt Holton and Robert High Gorman, are trying to like help this leprechaun find his gold because O'Grady managed to hide it before he died. They're also trying to escape the leprechaun's horrible murderous antics. They're running around town. Lots of tiny vehicles are involved. Eventually, they manage to find the gold in the well, but there's one gold piece missing. It is one that Ozzy swallowed. Obviously, they're not going to let the leprechaun get at that, and the leprechaun's not a super patient guy. So they have to figure out how to kill him. They find out that to kill him, they need to get a four-leaf clover on him because that makes him, like, vulnerable. In the nick of time, they do that. Ozzy sort of sacrifices himself to be able to distract the leprechaun for them to be able to do that. He survives. They kill the leprechaun. But at the end, there is a voiceover saying that the leprechaun will return.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's
oh, man.
It.
And that's why the rest of Spooktober is just going to be leprechaun sequels. And my absolute favorite that I'm the most looking forward to is Leprechaun in Da Hood, which
oh,
doesn't sound
Christ.
Racist at all.
I don't want to watch that. Thank you so much.
That feels very icky. Mm. But before we get into the joys that were this film, what is your cliffhanger for this?
Oh, God. my cliffhanger for this is going to be this one.
Is that me gold?
What the hell are you?
I'm a leprechaun, me dear.
Here, this is what you're looking for, right?
Ah, me powers are returning. It sounds like me go. It looks like me go. It smells like me go. It tastes like me go.
Oh, God! Jennifer Aniston is trying to give the leprechaun his gold, and he's, like, such a dick about it. He's such a dick about everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And, like, to me, this is the bit of the movie that I struggle with. I know that
right?
this is a
Thank
horror
you.
Comedy. I understand
yes.
that it is a bit satirical, and they're just making up some bullshit premise to have a evil, scary leprechaun chase people around. I'm not a dummy. I get
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
but to
100%.
Me, I think you too, Chad. You, we both have an overwhelming sense of unfairness.
Mm-hmm. 100%. We really love equity, like, throughout everything
yeah.
we watch.
Mr. O'Grady got this gold fair and square. Them's the rules.
Yeah.
Are the
yeah.
rules bullshit?
And it should have been the end.
Absolutely. But, you know, what are we to do?
Yeah.
I'm sure if maybe he had negotiated... If he'd threatened a little bit, he could have gotten his gold right back.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, on top of that, it's not the fault of the family that bought the house afterwards that they don't know where the fucking gold is.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this just feels like you said, really,
really,
really
unfair.
Like, you've just kind of inherited this land. Well, yeah. you didn't inherit it. You bought the land, and now you've got this fucking gremlin, this leprechaun shithead, who's just like, oh, where's me gold? Where's me gold? With the worst Irish accent.
And you're like, I don't know where your gold is. Like, let's sit and figure this out for a fucking second.
Yeah, buddy, it's been 10 years. Like, calm down.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way. That was something that really bugged me, and I literally said this out loud. All of this could be evolved if there was just a little bit, resolved really quickly, if there was just a little bit of conversation
yeah.
and a communication. If the, like, even when the leprechaun got his gold back,
yeah.
if he had just been like, gone to Jennifer Aniston and the rest of the cast and crew and just been like, hey, there's a piece missing. Do you know where it is? And they could have been like, and then Ozzy would have been like, oh shit, I swallowed that. And like, give me, you know, 2 days. I'll get it right
yeah.
back to you. Clean, spick and pan. And then we would have been fine. No one had to die. But there was such a lack of communication on the leprechaun's part. And it was very upsetting.
Yeah. Yeah. No wonder he lost all his gold the first time. He's bad at things.
Exactly.
Except he
exactly.
did pick
He's
up how to drive a lot of miniature vehicles very quickly.
So my question about that, right, is, so he goes into the shed to make one of the vehicles. So does he actually make it? Because it sounds like that's what he was doing in the shed.
Everything he does is just excused as, like, leprechaun magic. And you know what?
Okay.
I think with this movie, Chad, the trick is we can't get bogged down in the details. This is just
okay.
a hilarious romp of a very scary leprechaun doing his thing
yes.
and being a silly boy. And that's all you need
silliest.
To see it as.
Yeah, that's fair. That is a fair. Otherwise, there is a lot that can really just make no sense whatsoever. But overall, you know what? Enjoyable.
Sure.
It was all you could ask for from a film about a leprechaun looking for his gold.
Mm-hmm. If this is your vibe, more power to you. I personally hate annoying villains.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's why I don't particularly like Chucky either.
Right.
Just any time that they're like cute, funny, evil. It doesn't work for me. Doesn't work.
That's fair enough. Yeah, I completely understand. And especially because of how frustrating this movie is.
Oh my God.
The fact that the rules are very illogical.
Yes, they're unfair.
From start to finish. Yeah, very, very unfair. I will say, lovely to see a young Jennifer Aniston
yes!
in this.
This was her first feature film ever.
Wow.
She's apparently very embarrassed about that fact.
I think it's a lovely fact. I think she should own it because you know what?
So
this
too.
This film has become a cult classic, right? Like, everyone knows Leprechaun.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, she should really lean into it. I wonder how Warwick Davis feels about this film.
He originally also hated that he did it, but then the movie did really well because Jennifer Aniston obviously got really successful on Friends, so people, were buying it and renting it, and it ended up being one of his most successful movies of all time.
Wow.
And then, obviously, it got picked up for sequels and stuff, and he actually just got super into it. He loved it. He always had a ton of fun with the role, and he loved, there are some really excellent directors and costume designers involved with all of this and makeup effects people.
Mm-hmm.
So he really liked it.
Oh, that's really nice. What a turnaround. Good on him.
Yeah.
I love the leprechaun in itself, like the makeup and everything. It was just so wonderfully 1990s, and it was just great, you know, floppy fingers, faces that don't move, and just outrageous outfit.
It was great. I was reading all the trivia for this. Uh-huh. It took him 3 hours to get into the leprechaun makeup.
Good lord.
And 40 minutes to get it all off.
Flippin' heck, that is a lot.
Yeah.
Wow. Goodness.
Power to him.
Power to him. Yeah. What were your favorite bits of the film? Because I know overall there was it was just the injustice of it all. It was not your vibe, but like specific bits of the
should
film.
Should we
that
call
your
this
favorite.
Like my golden nugget, so to speak?
Why not? Why
my
not?
Lucky charm.
Your lucky charm at the end of the rainbow, you know, your magical golden bag of gold.
You know what? I actually thought that the relationship between Ozzy and Alex was kind of fun.
So cute.
So Ozzy is this man who, I guess, it's implied that he's like pretty developmentally disabled. I want to say, yeah, or he's mentally handicapped. I'm sorry, or neurodivergent. I'm not using the right term.
We're trying. You're trying.
Yeah.
That's what counts.
Yeah. So, and Alex is like this fast talking, sassy kid, and they're like just a kind of fun duo.
Yeah.
Who are like really nice to each other, actually. Like, Alex is really nice to Ozzy, and like they get along really well. Mm-hmm. They're just like, it's a weird, weird idea for a friendship in a movie, but it works really well.
Yeah, it's super cute. And, like, you know, there's that really, touching scene when, Alex reveals that he's found the gold and Jennifer Aniston's character is like, why the fuck are you keeping it, blah, blah, blah. And Alex is just like, oh, we want to take and, you know, get Ozzy his brain fixed. We want to take him to a hospital and get him an operation. And it's just, like, this really sweet moment because he's like, I know we can't do it, but he doesn't know we can't fix his brain. And it's just like, fuck you two. You guys are so cute together. Like,
how dare you?
Yeah. I love their name of their company as well. Three Guys That Paint. Great name. Simple.
Perfect.
That's what I want. Like, absolutely.
There's a moving company down here called Two Guys and a Truck.
Great. Just keep
it
simple.
That's what I'm looking
for. That's all you need. Yeah. Two guys, a truck. Perfect. Yeah. Three guys that paint. That's all I need. Yeah. My golden nugget for this one is definitely, I think, Jennifer Aniston's character. Just overall, she's just like this, you know, she starts off, you know, this horribly awful human being who just doesn't want to get involved.
She's
and then
thoroughly unlikable throughout.
No way. Like, I love her towards like the switch once like the leprechaun is revealed and she's just like, you know, she's just trying her best. She's this LA Valley girl and she just like finds the hot guy and she just wants to change. And you know what? That's great. Good on her.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess. I like that she kind of leaned into being like a little bit ridiculous and a little bit over the top at the beginning with like how spoiled and silly she is. I think it actually really lent something to the movie.
Definitely, definitely. I can't fault a single character in this, because they're all, like, they all just make up this beautiful sort of tapestry of great victims for a horror film. It's great.
Yeah. And very few of them actually die. I think the only one that dies is the dude who gets pogo-sticked at the beginning.
Him and the cop. The cop dies as well.
Oh, and the cop. Yeah.
In the most ridiculous chase scene I've ever seen in my life. You know, why would you run through a forest when there's a leprechaun chasing you and then stop when you see his hat on the ground? Like, that's on you, pal.
It's I didn't feel silly. Yeah.
Like, as soon as he stopped for the hat, like, you know, then I was like, all right, cool, no, you deserve to die. Like, you have no choice.
Classic.
Like, that was on you. Yeah. Yeah. Straight up. The pogo stick death as well was really rough. Like, I felt for him there.
Yeah, I was like, oh, no. I mean, the moment he picks up the pogo stick, you're like, oh, God. But sure, that's the fun of it, guys. Exactly. I don't mean to be a killjoy. I get it.
Yeah, it's just not our vibe. It's not our vibe at all.
No.
So on the, along that basis, would you recommend it?
Sure. If you like tiny, small people chasing grown-up people and try to be cute and funny about it, like, absolutely... check this out. It's a cult classic for a reason. It really does have some gems. Like, yeah.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with you. I would also recommend it. I think it's one of those things, like, if you are a horror lover, this is one of the films that you have to see.
You gotta check it out.
It's not gonna be scary.
Take it off your list.
But it's like The Room, you know, for us. You know, you have to have seen it because you're a movie watcher. You love movies. This is what you do. Leprechaun along the same basis. And I'm very, very happy that we finally got around to actually watching it, because I don't know... Yeah. When I would have ever been in the mood to be like, ah, oh, fuck it, let's just watch this film. So I'm glad, like, we were almost forced to watch it for this, because now we can say we've done that cult classic and it's over. And I would recommend it to anyone else, you know, especially because it is spooky season now. You're looking for horror movies, you want a little bit of downtime, maybe like a palate cleanser, you know, you've watched all the scary shit that's going on right now, and you just need that little bit of a palate cleanser. This is it. This is that film.
Yeah. Check it on. Check it out.
Well, thank you very much, Simone. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. I think solid start to Spooktober.
Are you into the cyberpunk tabletop games or excited for Cyberpunk 2077? Are you looking to brush up on the lore, stay up on all the latest news, and talk about the game when it comes out? Check out the Cyberpunk Lorecast, a show from Robots Radio with me, your host, Robots. We'll go over all the details you need to know about the world, characters, and story of Cyberpunk. Available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Now, could I offer you this microphone, and in exchange, I need you to murder Rudy.
No?
But this microphone will make you the top 1% of podcasters in the world. But the only
catch... In my heart, Chad...
Yeah?
In my heart, Chad, we're already the top 1% of podcasters in the world.
Aw, oh, look at that. That was a beautiful turnaround.
Look at that.
Oh, I loved it.
All right.
On a bit, yeah. All right, this... I have not written a synopsis for this, so this is going to be a bit janky.
You can get super high level with it if you want.
Look, I'm gonna try my best, and let's see what happens. Yeah. So we are in Castle Rock for this one, one of Stephen King's all-time favorite places to write a story. You've got Sheriff Alan Pangborn, played by Ed Harris, who is the local sheriff. And he's this cool, smart-talking guy. He's in from the city, and he's so sick of everyone's shit because, you know, the city was a horrible place, and he also hit someone really, 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 really hard and killed them. So now he's trying to take a beat. He's gone to Castle Rock with this like, small town where nothing ever happens, and he can just chill and enjoy himself. He is also dating Polly Chalmers, played by Bonnie Bedelia, who is a waitress in the local sort of Greasy Spoon, and she's got this horrible, horrible arthritis, like really, really, really bad arthritis, that's kind of debilitating, and that's kind of her shtick. She is assisted by... Nettie Cobb, played by Amanda Plummer, who is this really, like, shy lady. She's very sort of withdrawn, very nervous, very jumpy. But the reason is because she had, like, a complete mental breakdown a couple years ago when she accidentally, in complete self-defense, killed her husband. So she's, like, kind of like, you know, very nervous and very sort of whatever. She's got a bit of beef with Wilma Jerzyk, who is played by Valerie Bromfeld, who is the local turkey farmer. She's very crazy, very uppity in herself, and like just like a mental aggressive human being, just very, very rough. Then and the final list of sort of important characters is Danforth Keaton III, played by J.T. Walsh, who is the local businessman. He's sort of like the mayor of the town, kind of, you know, not like de facto. He's not actually the mayor of the town. Yeah. He's a super rich guy. He's a bit of an asshole as well. And, you know, he's actually, you know, secretly on the sly embezzling money from the town. Oh, and of course, then you've got Brian Rusk, who is the kid in this film, played by Shane Meyer. He's just this, like, lovely little kid who's just, like, you know, a little scrappy dude. Little whatever. So, one day, during things, a new store opens up in Castle Rock called Needful Things. No one kind of knows what this place is about, no one's seen the owner, and everyone's a little bit confused. That is until Brian walks into the shop. It seems to be open, even though the windows are still clouded over. And he walks in and he sees sort of like weird little memorabilia around, no one's in. When suddenly, appearing out of, as if out of the ground itself, is Leland Gaunt, played by Max von Sydow. Leland is this kind of cool older man. He's very nice and, like, he seems to weirdly know a lot about people and a lot about their things. And so Brian and him start talking, and essentially Leland is like, what do you want more than anything in the world? What would make you the happiest? And Brian is like, oh, me and my dad used to collect baseball cards. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, Leland produces a baseball card of, like, this really famous baseballer signed to Brian, as if he was in the at the game himself, this guy's last game. And all that Leland wants in return for giving Brian this card for free is that he does something for him. He enters a deed, a contract to do something. We don't see initially what it is, but we then learn out that he has to go over to Wilma's turkey farm, pick up all the mud and shit, and just spray it all over her clothes. A little bit later, Nettie goes to Needful Things as well. She sees that, like, there's these beautiful little porcelain figures. She used to have one, but her ex-husband broke it. So, you know, basically, Leland is like, you can have it for free, again, in exchange for something. She has to go to Danforth's house and paper it with tickets, because basically saying that, like, the police know what Danforth has done. So Danforth kind of loses his shit. Wilma's husband has to go and kill Nettie's dog. And essentially, the whole vibe that Leland is trying to do is get the whole town to turn against each other, even though no one has directly done anything to the people that they hate. So the whole idea is, like, Nettie and Wilma have, like, a fight against each other, yet Nettie doesn't actually do anything directly to Wilma, and Wilma doesn't do anything directly to Nettie, yet they both think that they've done things to each other. Eventually, the whole town goes kind of completely fucking mental. They're all killing each other, lots of shenanigans ensuing, and that's when Sheriff Alan Pangborn stands up and he's like, what's the matter with you? Can't you all see that he's fucking doing this? He's the worst. Blah, 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 blah. The town realizes that, like, you know, they have all gone kind of crazy because of Needful Things and the greed that they've all felt and, you know, signing these contracts with Leland. Oh, it's also revealed as time goes by that Leland is actually, you know, this immortal being who has been around since, like, the plague and even before time. It's just basically sowing chaos and derision within towns, and all he does is he just moves on to the next town, causing more trouble, and then moving on and moving on and moving on. So eventually Danforth, in like a suicidal rage, straps a bomb to himself and launches himself at Leland, blowing up Needful Things and sort of ending things. Unfortunately, from the smoke and flames emerges Leland, and he is unharmed, and he's just like, oh, well, I kind of fucked up, I didn't get this town, but I will be back, and believe me, Sheriff Pangborn, I will be back, and I will see your grandson in 2052, where he kills a whole bunch of people, it's implied, and then he walks off into the distance, going to his next town to spread more evil. The end.
The end. What is your cliffhanger off the top of your head?
So it would have to be this one.
Pick it up. Go ahead. Go on. Don't be afraid, Miss Cobb.
I had one just like it years ago.
Oh.
But it got broke. My husband.
Oh, your husband? Then it's Mrs. Cobb.
Although my charge has been passed on for some time now. Oh, he died untimely.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
No need to be sorry. It's been 7 years since you was...
Murder is awful.
I didn't mean to.
Of course not. It wasn't you who took that meat fork from the drawer and stuck it in Mr. Cobb's throat.
And it's the conversation he has with Nettie when he gives her the porcelain doll.
Yeah.
This guy's casting is exceptional.
So good.
I cannot think of another person who's done this.
He always plays, like, the sinister old dude so well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, I couldn't be more impressed by him. And his voice was just so crisp for this. And, it was absolutely perfect. Like, I couldn't be more ecstatic. I mean, to be fair, the whole casting for this was awesome. You've got some really nice big names in this. And it's
just
great.
Ed Harris, man.
Yeah. Friend of the podcast. He was on here for National Treasure 2. He was the bad guy in that, which was fun. Yeah. He hasn't aged a day either. He's looking great. Very impressed by him.
Yeah, no, he also looks fantastic. Oh, well, I think he's aged very well. He really, his cheekbones have definitely become more pronounced. And he himself is now good at playing creepy, scary older men, so that's fun.
It's all a circle. That's what an actor's life is all about. You're the main guy, and then you become the creepy old man.
If you're lucky.
What are your thoughts on this one?
I thought it was very 90s and very old school Stephen King in that it is a little slow, takes place in a town, and you have to just stick with it. That's the trick with these movies, right?
You
got to get past the 45 minute mark into a 2 hour movie. Because at first you're like, why the fuck do I have to meet all these people? Why do I have to know all their backstories? And it's like, trust, it matters. Mm-hmm. It matters. They're following a very specific structure.
It's the Stephen King structure. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's the Stephen King structure. And yeah, so I had to tell myself, like, Simone, calm down, be patient with it. Mm-hmm. It's okay. And I ended up actually really enjoying it. It's a pretty solid classic 90s Stephen King movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you want the formula, you could do worse than this.
Mm-hmm, exactly. I would say that from a 90s Stephen King movie, this is one of the better ones, because it's so, especially towards like the 90s, like maybe the early, like the 80s Stephen King movies were good. For some reason, I think it was just like the wild time, and they just kind of chose the best movies, sort of like Cujo, Carrie, that kind of thing, where you were just like, and it, you know, you had the 80s mental attitude, you know, drug and sex fueled, you know, crazy times mixed with film, which kind of worked. And then you went into the 90s and you had these slow burners, which you're just like, oh, okay, this is not the fast paced ride that I was looking for of Stephen King in his heyday. But, you know, it was still really fun. And it's like you said, it's a slow burn, like all Stephen King's things are. I mean, if you look at a Stephen King book, there's very few under 400 pages. And this is the reason why he likes to develop each and every character. He wants you to know their birth story, what they did when they were 11. Yeah, because it's all rich and it just gives it such a good flavor, which is sometimes hard to translate into a film.
I stand to be corrected, but I also wonder if this wasn't sort of him very much settling into the style that we know him for now. Like, obviously, you know, The Shining and all the other, like, movies that came before it, those were very different and very sensational and clearly about his struggle with addiction. Whereas I feel like since then, a lot of what Stephen King has put out is these, like, slow burn, small town, mystery horrors. And I mean, I totally stand to be corrected. I'm obviously not a Stephen King historian, but I wonder if this wasn't like the beginnings of him actually really settling into that style and like finding the rhythm that he really enjoys.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And you can definitely tell, like, you know, you say settling into the style, but it's also settling into sobriety. You know, this is definitely, you can feel that this is the time where he's just like, yo, I need to stop with the drugs. Like, you know.
And I also, a lot of people, well, a popular, I think, edgelord thing for people to say about Stephen King is like, oh, his books were so much better when he was hooked on drugs, which, like, first of all, like, fuck you.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Great. Yeah. He's not a fucking puppet.
His books were good in spite of that, not because of that. And I would argue that he has actually also written some really good, like, super haunting stuff since he's been sober. You just haven't heard about it as much because he's so fucking prolific.
Exactly, exactly. Like, when a Stephen King book comes out, it's more like, all right, well, we're just going to etch this into history straight away. Like, yeah, it's an automatic classic, yeah.
Just, like, it's, yeah, it's just not give sensational. Him an HBO series.
Yeah, it's not sensational because he, yeah, back in his, you know, drug days, he was still, like, establishing himself. I mean, he was only 40 when Carrie got published. So, like, you know, of course it's going to take a bit of time. Plus, like, you know, he's a bit slower with his writing now because he's gotten so much older and he's just, like, taking his time.
He's doing things.
Yeah, exactly.
Busy flaming people on Twitter. It's great.
And we still love him as much as we did, you know, back in the 80s. And yeah, yeah. No, you're so right. And it's lovely to see, like, the turn of Stephen King and, like, how he's changed his writing style and everything.
Yeah.
And this movie is a really good example of that. I mean, I don't know about you, but I love the idea of Needful Things, of this sort of, like, what is the ultimate price you would pay for everything that you want kind of thing. It's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even just, like, I guess it's also that, like, rabbit hole of, like, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, right? Like, people are aware they're doing something they shouldn't be doing, but it feels so small at the time that any repercussions, like, they can almost distance themselves from it, except obviously for poor Brian, who is riddled with guilt.
Oh, poor Brian. Yeah, yeah, that's really sad. I was very glad that he didn't die, though. That was a great twist. Yeah.
Apparently
he
does in the book, so.
Right. That was my next question, as I was going to ask you whether you had read the book or not, because I haven't. I've got it sitting on my shelf, but I haven't had a chance yet.
I haven't read it. I just read the trivia, and apparently he does die in the book, but everyone was like, we can't have a small child kill himself on screen. And everyone was like, yeah, fair enough, fair, okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I wonder, that happens a lot with Stephen King. It's like with It and the ever-famous sex scene.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, you just can't. Yeah.
People like, are just like, Stephen, no!
Stephen, come on. Guy, we realize you seriously have some issues with children, and I really do feel for Joe and the rest of the brood, the King brood, because obviously there's some, like, deep psychological issue here.
Fine.
Yeah, it's like my favorite thing that you've ever told me from a tweet that you read. Did you have a good childhood or are you funny? And it's very much, you know, the King children have that kind of same kind of vibe where it's like, you know, did you have a good childhood or was your dad one of the greatest horror writers of all time? And now you also need to do the same thing.
It's like, did you have a good childhood or are you good at writing horror?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Our trauma is what makes us. Oh, goodness me. So, golden nugget for this one. What are we looking at?
Golden nugget for this one. I thought Amanda Plummer's performance was fantastic. She played Nettie. Just so good the whole way through. I think smashed she really it. Got the character spot on. In general, actually, the casting for this was fantastic. Everybody knew the assignment and delivered. It's actually a supremely well-acted, especially for a horror movie, which people tended to not want to get involved in. It's really cool that they got all these fantastic actors in, and they did a great job.
Yeah, they smashed it. They smashed it out of the park. It did feel like everyone was on board and, like, everyone was on the same wavelength. And it was a beautiful piece of work. Really, really excellent piece of work. I was going into this, like, very nervous because, you know, pre-2000s horror, it can be a bit touch and go, especially
luck of the draw.
Yeah, especially when it's a smaller budget film like this. But fuck me, they nailed it. I mean, yeah, incredible. Yeah, golden nugget for me is definitely sort of like Leland's change. So, like, when he's, like, a good guy, he's very prim, he's like, looks really nice and everything. And then when he's in his, like, devil mode and he's got the fingernails and his teeth are rotten and all of that, it's just brilliant. It's
fantastic.
So subtle, but so good. Yeah. So good. And, like, the newspaper with all the doom and gloom shit on it is just.
Yes, and his little
so
notebook.
Subtle, yeah, and his little notebook. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Apparently, there's an Easter egg in there where he's flipping through the pages. And in one of the pages says Port Elizabeth and Nelson Mandela underneath.
No ways.
Yes.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Oh, very fun.
That's awesome. I like that. I like that a lot. Oh, brilliant. Excellent. And then finally, would you recommend it?
Yeah. I think if it's your vibe. Otherwise, like, to be honest, I think there are better, there are places where you can see this formula a lot better. Mm. And, like, it's a little less slow. It's a little bit less of that, like, 90s storytelling where it's people just looking mildly concerned for an hour.
Yeah.
Like, if you like this kind of thing, I would definitely recommend maybe rather checking out Castle Rock. Midnight Mass, actually, at the moment, is doing really, really well with that small town spooky vibes.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you're happy to wait, if you're ready to be patient, if you want to see some good acting, I think this is the movie to watch.
No, I agree with you. I would definitely recommend this in the fact that, like, yeah, it's very much like The Leprechaun. It's one of those things. It's like, you know, you've got to watch it if you're a horror fan. And if you want to be called sort of like a horror aficionado, this is definitely in that repertoire. You've got to have it. It's just lovely. I mean, I don't know. I would say maybe read the book first. He says not having read the book first, just to get like the full flavor of a Stephen King, and then just, go into this knowing exactly what's going to happen and just enjoying seeing your characters brought to life. It's kind of beautiful.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
Perfect.
Well, there we go, Simone. We have laid the foundations. The concrete is settling on this Spooktober, and now we are ready to build a spooky house of horrors. I am so happy for the rest
and
of this month.
And boy, do I have a nice, let's say a nice spire to add to our house of horrors.
Ooh, spooky. What are your spire? Talk me through it.
You're either going to love me or absolutely hate me. But I thought, you know how last year we did, Unfriended, the first, even though, like, they weren't bad, but we just really wanted to talk about them?
Yes.
This is my Unfriended of this year. And okay. I want to do Escape Room.
Ooh, yes. I've been wanting to check it out.
Escape Room 2 is out.
Okay.
And I know you'll love it because we have very similar tastes in horror. And I'm so excited. Also, this is just a nice reason for me to watch the second one.
I completely agree. And the first one, I haven't actually seen it. So my issue with this, right, is because there is another movie called Escape Room that came out like a while back. And and so I always get confused. So, I mean, any chance that you have the years on this one? So obviously 2021.
It would have been recent. Yeah, 2021. Okay. And then I think the other one came out like either 2019 or 2020, like also super, super recent.
Let me have a look. So Tournament of Champions is this year's one.
Yeah.
And then it looks like it was 2019. Excited. Yeah, 2019.
Okay. 2019 okay. makes sense.
Yeah, that's perfect. Okay, yes, this is very exciting. I love a good escape room.
You're gonna love it.
I'm so ready.
And you and I love a horror that's like a game with rules that people have to play and have to be sneaky clever about.
Yes, absolutely. So ready for this. Yes, and then we will be thinking of our ways that we would have gotten out of this. So ready for it. Yes. Oh, lovely. Brilliant. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. Yes. We appreciate you. We hope you're having a great Spooktober so far. And we hope that it continues into Halloween and it's all spooky, ooky, ooky, and wonderful. And if you do want to write to us about whatever you're doing for your holiday plans, for your spooky October plans, what are you doing if the fall season is upon you?
Yeah.
Are you getting lots of pumpkins and other gourds? Let us know. And where can they do that?
They can talk to us on Facebook or Instagram at Fresh Tomatoes Podcast, on Twitter at Fresh Tomatoes MP, and they can email us at freshtomatoespodcast@gmail.com.
There you have it. And as we say at the end of every episode, we love you and there's nothing you can do about it.
We love you and there's nothing you can do about it. Bye.
Hey, I'm Tom.
And I'm Stuart.
And we're from the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast.
We talk about all things connected to D&D lore.
And we're on the Robots Radio Network. So if you're into Dungeons & Dragons or you're into lore, then come check us out. You can find us on any podcatcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get podcasts.
Roll more dice.
That's the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast.
Looking for a Fallout audio drama? It's True Vault Escapades. That's right. Follow the death-defying adventures of Detective Walter Camry and his vault girl Bunny as they solve the wasteland's biggest mysteries. From the dramatic Texas prologue to the high-stakes world of New Vegas, Walter and Bunny risk it all to crack everything from murders, slaver syndicates, and corruption at the highest level in post-nuclear America. True Vault Escapades. It's a Fallout show with a detective twist. Look for True Vault Escapades wherever you get your podcasts.
You've been listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.net.